from the wisdom of God. I was talking with someone this morning in my house, and I asked the person a question. Everybody look up. I asked the person a question this morning, and the question I asked, I want to ask that question here. And the question is, why did Jesus curse the fig tree? Why did Jesus curse the fig tree? That's the question. What was the reason for the Lord Jesus to curse the fig tree that he met on his way with his disciples? Do I have any answer here?
Praise God.
Amen.
Unproductivity.
Can you be audible for them to hear?
Unproductivity.
Unproductivity. Okay, Jesus cursed the fig tree because the fig tree was not productive. Is there another answer? Who has another answer as to why Jesus cursed the fig tree? How many of us know the story of the fig tree when Jesus was hungry? And he met, okay, give him the mic, please. Okay, why did Jesus curse the fig tree?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I would say that he caused the fig tree because when he came to the fig tree, there was no fig in it. Then they passed by.
Okay, there was no fig in it. Now notice the fig tree produces figs. Just like you have mango. Mango is what they call the fruit. So the fig tree has a fruit it produces that is called figs. Continue.
And that's supposed to be the time for the fig tree.
That's supposed to be the time for the fig tree to do what?
To produce. So when they came back, he couldn't find the fruit on the tree.
So that's why he cursed it. But man of God, you are wrong. Thank you for your answer, but you're wrong. Your answer is also not accurate. Let me look for one last answer. Thank you for your submission. Are you getting me? Your submission is the mainstream submission. When I say mainstream, is the known reason as to why Jesus caused the fig tree, but that was not the reason why. Let me get one last answer. You will not speak because I discussed it with you this morning. Okay, he wants to try. Why did Jesus curse the fig tree?
Jesus cursed the fig tree because the time when the fig tree was supposed to produce fruit,
okay,
it did not produce. Okay. Despite extra time being given to the tree to produce, still yet the fruit did not come.
Uncle, your answer is out of alignment. It is out of alignment. You are establishing the fact they were talking about. Your answer is the same thing with their own. Are you getting me? Then you are not talking about Jesus giving more time. But that's not the fig tree was not the one that Jesus gave more time. It was the case of the vine yard owner and his vine dresser, and he came to a particular fig tree, and 3 years the fig tree was not producing. That's where we are running to today. But that one had nothing to do with the fig tree Jesus caused. Are you getting me? So what was the reason Jesus caused the fig tree? So let's see if you were both correct. Matthew 11. Okay, run to Mark 11 first. Mark 11, verse 12 to 14. I want to touch this before I get to my message. What I'm talking this morning is actually borrowed time. And the burden, I wouldn't call it a message as per the normal. I would call it a burden because it's something that after being uttered should actually drive us to a place of seriousness with God and to a place of prayer, even to a place of consecration. Mark 11, 12 to 14. You can help us to read, sir. Help us to read. Mike, help us to read. Mark 11, 12 to 14. Everybody listening.
Amen.
Amen.
12 to 14.
Uh-huh.
And on the morrow,
uh-huh,
when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry.
Now, so Jesus was what? Hungry. I'm coming. There are some people that are spiritual men. Now, when they feel hungry, they feel as though they're in the flesh. Are you getting me? When they are hungry, they feel as though they're in the flesh. But Jesus, the a manifestation of the entirety of true spirituality, he was hungry. So when you're hungry, don't consider yourself to be in the flesh. Continue.
And seeing a fig tree
now
afar,
Jesus saw a fig tree afar,
of having leaves.
The fig tree had leaves.
He came.
If happily he
might find any.
Jesus came if peradventure he might find fruit on the fig tree. Continue.
And when he came on it.
And when he came on it,
he found nothing.
He found nothing but leaves.
But for the time of the fig,
time of the figs
was not yet.
Was not yet. Are you seeing the reason why I said your answer was not right? You can see that. The time for the producing of figs had not come. For instance, now this is the month of September. If you go to a mango tree now, will you see mango? You go to an odara, what do they call odara in English? Cherry. You go to a cherry tree now, you wouldn't see. Because it's during our time period that fruit will begin to come out. So the Bible said here that for the time of the figs was not yet. So it was not the season for the fig tree to produce fruit. So if it is not the season for it to produce fruit, why would the Lord, desiring fig from it, still go there and curse that tree? Now, let me make the answer clear. Jesus saw the fig tree afar off having leaves. Anybody that knows what they call the fig tree doesn't produce fruit like other trees. Other trees will produce green leaves first of all, and after a season, the fruit will come out. Are we together? But for the fig tree, the way of the fig tree is that the fruit will come out first, and the leaf will come out first, and the fruit will come out, then the leaf will come out. Get me clear? The fruit comes first for the fig tree. You wouldn't see leaves, but the fruit will come out, then afterwards you will now see leaves. So if from afar you sight leaves in the fig tree, you know that there is already fruit. But for the normal tree, you will first see what? Leaves before fruit. I don't know if I'm communicating. Now, but the fig tree has this pattern. You can study the fig tree. It has fruit first of all, then leaves. Once fruit start coming, leaves will not be coming, which is not the normal way for the average tree. So Jesus saw leaves. Those leaves he had seen from afar should have meant that there are already what? Fruit. You are not following me. Don't worry. The journey is a long one, and we have time. So the leaves he saw from afar means that fruit is already what? There. Because after fruit comes, leaves come. So when you see leaves, you know that fruit is already there. So Jesus saw the leaves. The Bible said, and he found nothing but leaves. So when he came there, the fruit was not there. So in other words, he had to, because of the hunger in his system, because of that expectation. For instance, you were very hungry, you went to a restaurant to eat, and they told you they are bringing the food, and you waited 30 minutes. All of a sudden, they came and told you that there is no food available. In your anointedness, you may want to rain curses. Now, what nonsense? So, Jesus cursed the tree because of an appearance of deceit. He caused the tree because of deceit, because of guile. Now, other fig trees were not having leaves. They were not having leaves on fire, but this particular one had leaves, which Jesus saw, which means that fruit should have been there, because it was not the season at all. So, when it's not the season, the fig tree should not even have leaves. It should not even have leaves nor fruit. If you see a fig tree normally, when it's outside the season, you will see it as one kind of dry tree. But when the season comes, you will see fruit comes, then leaves come. So in this particular scenario, Jesus had seen leaves, which means that fruit should have been there. But he went and didn't see what he anticipated. So on that basis of deception, because it deceived his expectation, so he actually cursed the tree. In verse 14, and Jesus said unto him, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Hallelujah. So I want you to pay attention. We are going to come to the case of this fig tree. We will come there. But I just decided to ask the question first of all. What I'm talking this morning is on borrowed time. And that's a parable of Luke chapter 13. Go to Luke chapter 13 with me. Luke chapter 13. Luke 13. Luke 13 from verse 6 to 9. I read. Jesus spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Give me a little volume. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit and found none. Verse 7. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking. Amen. So verse 7, it says, then said he unto the vine, the dresser of the vine, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit, thank you, on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? In verse 8, we're reading Luke chapter 13 from verse 6 to 9. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now we have seen this reading. You'll find out that the fig tree is always mentioned in scriptures. And the tree is always a victim of cutting down. Always false victim. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, what they used to cover themselves was a fig leaf. It was a fig leaf they used to cover themselves before God took skin from an animal and dressed them. So, the story is concerning the fig has been of ancient. It's a long time thing. So this particular vine owner came to his vineyard looking for fruit from that fig tree. The fig tree had nothing to show for year one, for year two, and how many years finally? 3 years. So the owner of the vine comes and says, since this fig tree is in my vineyard, and since it's not producing fruit, what's the essence? What's the use? I will cut it down. So the owner in this picture represents Father God. And there was a vine dresser that came and told the owner, give it more time. The picture of the vine dresser here happens to be our mediator. That is the mediator of the new covenant. That's in the person of the Lord Jesus. So he says to the Father, give it more time. Allow it a little more time. Perhaps it will bring fruit. That's verse 8. He answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, but if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now this is where the story of the borrowed time comes in. The vine dresser pleaded for a borrowed time for the fig tree that was supposed to be cut down. So what did the owner of the vineyard do? He accepted. He accepted and said okay. But the promise from the vine dresser was that this year, that was to be at the end of that year. So the man accepted. if you look prophetically and symbolically, you see that its symbolic significance is two. There is the nation of Israel here, and there is individual personalities. Are we following at all? What I want to run here is a sensitive teaching that I just want everybody to follow. The tree represents two things. Number one, the nation of Israel, and number two, individual humans. Now, in the case of the nation of Israel, see how it represents. How many years had Jesus done ministry by this time? Pardon? Okay, his ministry was 3.5 years. Thank you so much. So by this time, Jesus had done 3 years of ministry. This was going towards the close of his ministry. John had also done 3 years. So, how many years did the vine dresser agree with the owner of the vine for fruit to start coming? He said that particular year. That is to the end of it. He didn't mean it was still going to be even up to a full year. He said, allow it this year also. So maybe it could have been the beginning of the year. So he said, maybe at the end, allow it. So Jesus had done 3 years of ministry, likewise John, the herald. And this fig tree had been useless for how many number of years? 3 years. So these 3 years, the fig tree had been useless. And symbolically, the ministry of Jesus had also been for 3 years. So this is actually a picture of the nation of Israel. The Lord had allowed Israel for a while to come to alignment. Jesus had been preaching, doing miracles. Matter of fact, Jesus began his ministry. And if you read the beginning of the gospel, each of the gospel accounts, he said he began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of God is what at hand. That was the beginning of his message. So Jesus had been doing miracles for these 3 years, healing the sick, raising the let me not use the word raising the dead by this time. He had been doing specific miracles, even sending his disciples to go out and continue the miracles. But Israel had not come to bear fruit. Mark what I said. I said Israel had not come to bear what? Fruit. Don't forget that when John was preaching, he was talking about when he was preaching in the wilderness, he was telling the children of Israel to bring fruit, meat for repentance. You notice the word fruit, right? So Israel is a picture of that fig tree. So 3 years solid ministry of the Lord, yet the people of Israel were not coming to acknowledge the Father. Don't forget that during the days of Elijah was having several manifestations and miraculous occurrence in his ministry. But the children of Israel, the Bible said, they answered him not a word. To the extent that Elijah came to now beg them. He said, okay, if God be God, follow God. And if Baal be Baal, what? Follow Baal. And the Bible said the children of Israel answered him not a word. They didn't respond to him. So that was to show the hardness of their hearts. Are we together? So that was to show the hardness of their heart. The people of Israel rejected Elijah. So Elijah's own bringing of these people to repentance was by force. In the sense that in 1 Kings 18, he had to call down the fire. And when the fire came, by force, the children of Israel, they on their knees, they went down and said, the Lord is God. And they said again, the Lord is God. That's the repentance wise. And Elijah, doing it by force, summoned all the prophets of Baal that was deceiving the state of Israel. And he killed all of them. So his own ministry of repentance was by aggression. So they needed to have seen the fire to have believed that the Lord is God. Because they were worrying after Baal. If you're feeling weak, you just stand up, please. Hallelujah. So Jesus had a ministry for 3 solid years. There was no result of the children of Israel turning to God. there was no fruit that had come forth from that tree. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it to the ground? 3 years solid ministry by the Lord. The people were not yielded, but they didn't know that they were on a borrowed time. Israel didn't know that they were what? On a borrowed time. So when Jesus says to the Father, allow it for this year, just this particular year, maybe you want to cut it down, allow it later this year, let me have time to work on it. Then what Jesus did, don't forget, I said this parable represents this nation of Israel and individuals, right? And now I'm expounding on the fact that Israel is in the picture. So what Jesus did was that he performed the miracle of miracles, the miracle of all miracles, and that's the miracle of resurrection. It is after this scenario that you hear the case of Lazarus, 4 days in the land of the dead. And Jesus went and called forth Lazarus from the dead, and Lazarus resurrected. And Israel had not seen it in that manner. Perhaps Elijah the Tishbite had done miracles, the prophet had done, Elijah had the evidence of resurrection, but the resurrection he had not even crossed 24 hours there. But Jesus had the one of 4 solid days. The Bible said, and the Jews that were there believed, but the chief priests, they gathered together, they said they should kill him lest all Israel should follow him. But the purpose of the Son of Man was that the entire state of Israel will corporately come to the Father. The program of God for Israel was not just individual repentance. Hear me very clear, because there were some Israelites that were coming to the Lord in repentance. Matter of fact, all the disciples of Jesus, none of them was a Gentile. They were all Jews. Are we together? All of them were all Jews. So Jesus, I have told us before, his ministry was not to the Gentiles. His ministry was strictly to the Jews. And he said, I have not come but for the lost sheep of Israel. So he came directly for the children of Israel. That's why the Gentile woman that came to him for a miracle for her daughter, Jesus said, I will not give the children's bread to dogs. The children are the Jews. The Gentiles are seen as the dogs because they were outside the door. So that program of God is to bring salvation to Israel, and Israel will run the baton to other nations. So Israel was to be a light to the Gentiles according to Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 49. So 3 years of solid ministry. But the children of Israel had not, don't forget, I said corporately. When I mean corporately, it is together. During the age of the tribulation, when Israel will come to the Lord, hear me clear, it is together. They will come corporately as a people. The program of God for Israel is not just individual, it's not one person. Jacob should turn, as in come together. All of them together, as a people, they entered Egypt. And as a people, they corporately also came out of Egypt. Are you getting? So God's program for Israel is always corporate, not just individual. So Peter preached and 3,000 Jews repented. That was not enough. The program of God for the Jews is that together they turn to the Lord. When Noah preached to Nineveh, what happened? Nineveh as a city repented. Not just, do you think that you couldn't have found one righteous man in Nineveh? No, you would. But God demanded that Nineveh as an entire city turns to him. So they didn't come, they came corporately. So because they had come corporately, the Lord actually forgave them. And that made Jonah angry. So what's the essence of my speech today? Israel did not know that they were on a borrowed time. Jesus wouldn't have performed that miracle of the resurrection, but he did it, something that had crossed over 4 days, and Lazarus came forth. Matter of fact, when Jesus said, Lazarus shall live again, what did Martha respond? He said, Lord, I know he shall live again on that day. Martha was citing the resurrection day. You know, many people said Martha didn't have faith, but Martha had faith. She believed in the resurrection. There is no greater faith than believing in the resurrection through Christ. because that is the climax. That is the climax of God's program for man, where he clothes man with unending immortality. So what am I saying? The owner of this vineyard, the owner says, 3 years I have left this fig tree on this. Look at me. Have you planted before? Have you farmed before? Okay. I've happened to have farmed before in a large land in northern Nigeria. That land was, I think that should be over 10 plots of land. I planted maize, I planted different things. If you are a farmer, you plant and your harvest is not coming, I tell you, you'll be angry. You'll be angry. You know what? Because as a farmer, you spend. That was when I knew that farmers spend money. The fertilizers we will buy, the chemicals we will pour against insects that will come and eat, we were spending money on the farm. Investment on the farm. So by all means, there must be a harvest. Are you getting me? So if my plants happen not to have a harvest and they happen to be humans, then I will give them drillings, because I labored to plant it and I made investment on it. So the father had invested his son on the children of Israel, and the son came 3 solid days. There was no fruit. No fruit was coming from the fig tree. Some of you, when you hear fig tree, you think fig tree is one cursed tree. That's a lie. You can't point any tree that is more fruitful than the fig tree. You are not aware. The fig tree produces figs. If you see fig, the fruits are like sand. They are many, massive. So when you hear fig tree, don't expect that it's something that is cursed. No. It was a particular fig tree that Jesus cursed. So don't think all fig trees are cursed. The fig has been ancient as in the days of Eden. From the times of Adam, the fig was there. When Adam, they committed sin, it was a fig leaf they used to cover themselves. So what am I saying? 3 years of rugged ministry by the Lord, no fruits. 3 years of rugged preaching in the wilderness, and John was shouting, "All you children of vipers!" And the people were coming in their tens and probably hundreds, but that was not the plan of God. The plan of God is that Jacob should come together as one people to him. But they refuse to turn to the Lord. They refuse to turn to the Lord. Let me run you on this very clear. In the times of the Antichrist, when the Antichrist will have his day, his number one pursuit will not be Christians. His number one pursuit will be the people of Israel. His number one. Then the next targets are Christians. Because during the tribulation, the day of the Gentile is past. If you read Paul's letter to the Romans, you see the time of the fullness of the Gentiles. We are approaching the time of the fullness of the Gentiles. The time of the fullness of the Gentiles comes in when that door closes. That is when God takes away his eyes from the Gentiles and focuses on the Jews. Because the Bible said, if you read Paul's letter in Romans, read Romans chapter 9, 10, 11, then you understand God's program, how that Israel is the original olive, is the original branch. And it was cut off that the wild branches should be grafted in. So their blindness actually brought light to us. Their rejection of the Messiah actually brought salvation. You are not getting me. I don't know. Am I traveling too far? Eh? Okay. Now see, Jesus had 3 years of ministry. John was doing his own. The Lord was doing his own. 3 solid years, and Israel was that victory, not producing. And Father God says to the vine dresser, which is the Son of God, more time. This parable Jesus gave, probably I can tell you, let me not put 100%, I can tell you 99%, by the gift of discernment of the word of God, it must have been in the revelation. The Lord must have seen this thing. He must have been caught up in a vision and seen a tree that was about to be cut up. 3 years I've been working on this thing. Why is it not producing? And he says to the Father, give it more time. So that must have been from that revelation. The Lord will now see, okay, this is what is about to happen to Israel. The time is going. So he knew that the time was already going. He knew that the time was short. He knew they were on borrowed time. So he started performing strange miracles that were beyond the ordinary and the normal. And the one of Lazarus rising from the dead was the climax of it. But then you find the chief priest summoning themselves together and saying, no. If we allow this man, all Israel will turn. And that is what they didn't want. But that was the devil speaking through them. Look at John chapter 12. Let me just show you that. Don't worry, we have time. We will journey this morning. John 12 verse 10. Look at it. Look at John 12. I read from verse 9. This is after the resurrection of Lazarus. Most people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there and came not for Jesus' sake and only. Listen, you know, they didn't come there for the sake of Jesus only, but they came that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead, because the resurrection from the dead marveled them. That one caught their attention. It caught their attention more than the feeding of 5,000. It caught their attention more than the healing of lepers, the one of dealing of blind eyes. But this one caught their attention, because in Israel they had to they had the Pharisees, they had the Sadducees. Pharisees believed in resurrection. Sadducees did not believe. So this one was breaking their doctrinal grounds. So verse 10, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Are you seeing? Many Jews now believed on Jesus because of the resurrection of Lazarus. Many, but not all of them. But God's program was that all of them should believe. God's program was that all of them should believe. But they didn't believe. They didn't know that they did not have time. They didn't know that they were what? On borrowed time. And the Lord said to Father God, give it a little time. Let me overhaul the system. Perhaps fruit will come out. And then it didn't take long. He was crucified. Look at what he said in verse 8 again. Journey with me. In that, Luke 13 verse 18. And he answered unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. Do you know what dung it means? Oh Jesus, the Lord is giving me a new insight to this. Do you know what dunging it means? You know what dung means? How many of us know what dung means? Okay, dung is fertilized. They call it cow dung. It's excreta. Cow dung is good fertilizer. The dung from chickens, you see, is good fertilizer. You are aware, right? So the vine dresser is saying, let me dung it. So there had to be something that will be put extraordinary into the system, and that was the matter of his death and burial. And then he went extra mile after that of Lazarus, since they had not been. Then he went extra mile. He died on the cross. After dying on the cross, he rose again. And now in the resurrection of Jesus, it's not only his 12 that saw it. If you read the epistle to the Corinthians, you will see that at a point, 500 people in one sitting saw him. They saw the resurrected master. After he had resurrected, he appointed the 12. To go forth and become witnesses in the same land of Israel. They became witnesses preaching, and the same people that were to turn and begin to bear fruit, the same people began to persecute the 12 the Lord had appointed. And they arrested Peter and they said, speak no more in this name. But the eyes of the Lord were still on the fig tree, even when the Messiah had died and resurrected. Even when he had ascended and gone into glory, the eyes of Father God was still in that fig tree, which is called the nation of Israel. Until the times of Stephen, when Paul, who was known as Saul, supervised the stoning of Stephen to death. it's from that time you begin to see the movement of the program shifting from the nation of Israel into the land of the Gentiles. When I talk about Gentiles, Gentiles is inclusive of every non-Israel state. Every nation, any nation you know that's not Israel is a Gentile nation. So God moved this program. And then, what happened to this victory? Do you know what happened to the victory? The father made a promise that he kept. When the father promises, he keeps his promise. Because the vine dresser, journey with me, this is an expository teaching. In verse 8 and 9 of that Luke 13. And answering unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt do what? Cut it down. After that, thou shalt what? Cut it down. Now, I've not come to the part of the individual. I'm still in the part of Israel as a nation. Are we together? So, the Messiah had gone, his disciples had continued the mission's work, but the people decided to start arresting them. The government was rather persecuting them and ensuring that they put all structures to see that the gospel does not prevail in the land. How did Father God cut down this great victory? It took 70 more years. Don't worry, give them the fan, I don't need it though. For them. It took 70 more years before the father actually attended to this victory. How many of us have heard the word long suffering? How many of us know what it means to be long suffering? Huh? Talk to me, talk to me. How many of us know what long suffering means? Huh? What does it mean to be long suffering? To be long suffering means to be able to suffer something for long. It means to be able to condone something for long. For instance, someone is offending you and you allow the person, you give the person times of grace, you allow the person for an extended time. Doesn't a long suffering is not actually ever suffering. It's actually long suffering. It means that it will be for long, but not forever. So the patience of the Lord for the children of Israel was not actually forever, it was actually long. So he allowed them for a long 70 years. 70 years. This thing I'm trying to tell you now is actually what led to the rising of men like Nero. How many of us have heard of Emperor Nero? You've not heard of the times of the persecution of the church and the times of the destruction of the temple in Israel. The times where Israel was led captive beyond the one that happened during the times of Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. This one was the worst one. It was worse than what they saw during the times of Babylon. So, this vine dresser had said, allow it for a little more time. So, that little more time, the father came, he still did not find fruit on that fig tree. So, what did he do? He permitted a man called Titus, General Titus. And this particular man, his father was the emperor of Rome. And he was the general of the Roman army. He took a siege on the city of Jerusalem. That temple that they called a holy place. That temple that is so much hallowed. Those their robes and regalias and their Pharisaical adornings. All those things they saw as very important to their religion. Everything was threshed to the ground. 70 years after Jesus had gone, and Jesus warned them. If you read Matthew chapter 23, if you read the last four verses, Jesus said to Jerusalem, he said, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, he called their name two times. He said, how long shall I try to gather you together as a hen doth her chick? You know how when a hawk is coming, the mother hen will spread her wings and cover all the children so that the hawk does not have access to the children. So Jesus is saying, in the last chapter, in the last verses of Matthew 23, if you read the last four chapters, he said, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem. That was a lamentation he took on the nation of Israel. Not by individual, but corporately as a people. Are we following? So he said, Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how long have I attempted to gather you as a hen daughter chick? But you would not. He said, but you have left your land desolate. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killed the prophets. And Jesus pointed out that they even stoned Zacharias the righteous on the altar. When you tell the children of Israel the truth, they gather you with their stones and they martyr the person. That was what Israel was all about. And Jesus is talking to his own people that didn't know that they were that fig tree and they had borrowed time. He said, I have attempted, but you would not. He said, but the time is coming that even those that are breastfeeding will wish that they didn't give birth. He said, you have left your land desolate, and you will not see me until you shall cry, Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai. This is the exact word the Lord Jesus said to them. Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai. That is, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So the Messiah had come in the name of the Lord, but they didn't receive him. But now he says, a time will come that you will cry, blessed. That one you didn't proclaim blessed that has come in the name of the Lord, you will now proclaim him blessed. A time will come that you have left your house desolate. And then Israel went through the worst they had gone in their history. General Titus destroyed Jerusalem. They carried mother, children, everybody captive. They killed several of them. And Israel lost the land of his heritage. That thing that happened then, in AD 70, Anno Domini, in that AD 70, after 70 years, Jesus did his ministry and died and resurrected. It was only until 1948 that Israel gathered together as a nation. That's how many years apart. They had gone into different lands. And as a result of that, that was what even caused the extermination of 6 million Jews by Adolf Hitler. Have we heard of how that 6 million Jews were put in a gas chamber? 6 million of them. They were, a machine was used to crush all of them. 6 million of them were crushed. Until today, their slippers are still there. Their belts are still there. Their clothes are still there in that place in Germany. This one I'm talking about happened in the early 1940s. Something that had happened, a rebellion of more than 1,000 years, still reflected till 1943 when Adolf Hitler did that. I don't know if you're following, huh? Or what I'm saying, I'm journeying too far. Don't worry. Okay. You know, when a minister like this, if you don't receive it, there are many people that will listen to it and receive it. So if I talk because of the faces I'm seeing, I'll start shouting, I'll start giving declarations so that you'll be jumping and shouting it. You know, it's until you start jumping and shouting and sweating. I say, as you are now, your woman chief will come to you under 72 hours. You will shout him and you will carry this chair on your head. You will go back home and say, service was power. Then after 72 hours, you don't see the Homer gym. It is well. It is well. What I'm doing is actually called Kingdom Lectures. It's lectures. And you need the lectures. If you read Daniel chapter 11 from 32, it said, the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploit. So strength is in knowledge. If you don't know, you can't be strong. The people that do know their God, they shall be strong and blessed. When Hosea said in Hosea 4:6, why are the people perishing? For lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. So many people lack knowledge. They don't even know what triggered the persecution of the church. They don't even know what happened even after Jesus left. They don't even know the premises of the crucifixion of the Lord. Nothing about the gospel. But the Bible always said that Jesus went into the temple, not only preaching, but also teaching. The difference between preaching and teaching, what I'm doing, I'm actually teaching. So you should be able to receive it. If you don't receive it, then the message will be for someone else and they will receive it. Even till this morning, what was ministered last week, somebody sent me a message from outside the shores of this country and said, this message was for him. And so the message is always for somebody. But let that person be you. Now listen to me. The victory was actually Israel. And the Lord, who is the mediator, the present church has brought in a mediatrix. There is no mediatrix. There's only a mediator. You don't know the mediatrix. The mediator is for the masculine. The mediatrix is for the feminine. So they have a mediatrix. And the mediatrix they have is actually Mary, the mother of Jesus. That has to say that she gave us salvation. That's without without her on the final day too, you can't be saved. That's not the doctrine of scriptures. If you read 1 Timothy, is it? Oh my God. Paul wrote to Timothy and told him clearly that there is one mediator between God and man, that is Jesus. So we have what they call mediator, not a mediatrix. It's not feminine. Okay? It was one that died, not two that died. So the only one that died and resurrected is the only one that can stand before you and Father God. So let me continue the journey. So he said to the Father, allow it a little more time and it will begin to bear fruit. Now, are you seeing the long suffering of the Lord? Are you seeing his long suffering? So there are many malfunctionings in your life that he gives you time. But hear me clear. If I don't tell you this, then I'll be deceiving you. He does not give you time forever. He does not give you time forever. When the Lord summons you to adjust, it is in law. And it is born out of his long suffering. We were discussing yesterday, me and him. And he was talking about Ananias and Sapphira. Why did the Holy Ghost have them die like that? Is it actually the Holy Ghost yet? Some teachers will tell you that's not the Holy Ghost, but that's the Holy Ghost. Now, why did the Lord allow them to die? Then why is it not happening now? I said actually it was a launching of his system. Are you getting me? They launched roads and the president of Nigeria came here last week. He came. It's not every day you find him coming. He came because it was a launching. And the road after, people will be seeing that road. So on the day of Pentecost, the church was actually inaugurated. And the inauguration of the church, in the times of Ananias and Sapphira, it was still the inauguration period. So the Holy Ghost had to set the standard for the ecclesia. Not that he does it every time, that when somebody tells lies and come to the altar, the person just dies. No, if it's like that, many people will die in the church. He was inaugurating a system. So, and the Bible said after Ananias and Sapphira died, he said fear came upon the church. Not carnal fear, but the fear of God. So the Lord allowed that to happen so that the people will know that he's not a joker. Are you getting me? It's not that after Ananias and Sapphira, others did not come and lie. But Ananias and Sapphira, they happened to be to be agents of a litmus test. They used them for practicals. Ananias and Sapphira were used for practicals. So somebody said, God does not kill you. Pastor Damina's teaching now is that God does not kill. That even Sodom and Gomorrah, God was not the one that destroyed it. You are using emotion, sentiment to follow God. Hebrews 12:29. The Lord, I am the Lord. The Lord your God is a consuming fire. It was his justice system. If God is not a God of justice, Jesus would not have died. Are you hearing? He would not have. Oh, do you know what the Son of God went through? Someone in the position of the Son of God, that is in the office of God himself, will allow himself to suffer such reproach because of man. What cost? It is a justice system of God. God needed something to atone for. In the old Jesus, I'm going so far. In the old covenant, something has to atone for the sin of man. Something must atone. Hear me, in the old covenant. Every year you must carry your bulls and rams and go for atonement. Then the priest will receive it. As the incense is going up and all of that, your sins are forgiven. For every testament, there must be a testator. In the Old Testament, the testators were animals. Then the New Testament, there must be a testator. And the testator happens to be the Son of God. He testated by his blood. So giving up his life for us was because of the justice system of God that demanded that. So the justice of God, you can't override it calling upon his mercy. the justice will still work. So what happens is that the mercy of God will go ahead of time to prevent the justice. But after a while, the justice will be released. So if alignment has not come into order, then that thing will be found fault for them. So why were the master, because of his long suffering, Father God allowed the fig tree an extra time, a borrowed time. You know one good thing? After you leave here today, a word will resonate in your spirit. That is the word called borrowed time. Man never has time forever. Even in your dealings with God, there are many things that God, in his long suffering, will be speaking to you and allowing you time. That is what they call borrowed time. The time is not forever. It is born out of the bowels of long suffering. So the children of Israel did not yield, and what happened? Their land was destroyed. Their land was destroyed. But the Son of God had done his duty. And his duty was to call them to order. His duty was to call them to repentance. Israel had a time of repentance. They had enough time, but they didn't come. It was too bad that even when Jesus went to his hometown, the Bible said even the people did not even believe him. So even there he could not do much works. The Bible said because of their unbelief. He couldn't do much works because of what? Their unbelief. And I've told you that God's program and plan was that Israel corporately should come to him together as one people. Are we together? As one people. Just like the Lord sees the church. The church before the eyes of the Lord is like one people, but different functionings. Different functionings, different offices. Then look at Luke chapter 3 verse 8 to 9. Luke chapter 3 verse 8 to 9. Luke chapter 3 from verse 8 to 9. Now I will read. Luke 3, 8 to 9. John is the one speaking. John the baptizer. He's saying, bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance. Are you seeing the word fruit there? You are not looking at the Bible. Are you seeing the word fruit there? Bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. Do you know why he said bring forth fruit? Because they are that big. So bring forth fruit worthy of repentance and begin to say within yourselves, we have Abraham our father. And for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Then verse 9. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into where? The fire. So the trees is not just the picture of Israel alone. It also symbolizes individuals like myself and you. The grace of God allows us to become better. In Titus, he said that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Now, what the grace does is that it teaches us. The grace enables us to deny ungodliness, to deny worldly lusts, and that we should live righteously and soberly, not in the age to come, but in this present world. Are we together? Now, I said, are we together? Good. So that grace enables, empowers the man to get into alignment with the Father. So when grace is not, when the grace you think operating in you has not caused you to enter into alignment with God, to enter into harmony with God, to enter into unitedness with God in character and in all, you begin to question the grace that is at work. Begin to question it. Because the grace of God has appeared unto all men, teaching. Is it Titus 2:11? Titus 2:11. Denying ungodliness and worldliness, that we should live righteously and soberly in this present world. So John is saying that the axe is laid on the root of every tree. Look at verse 9 together with me. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. You know what? The axe is there, but the tree has a borrowed time. to enter into alignment. Do you know there are many things about your family? Let me come to your family. There are many things that concerning your family that you don't know you have borrowed time. There are many things that the enemy has already plotted through his human agents that they have to destroy in your family. There are projections they have done, but the grace of God is covering. In trusting that you will summon the hand of God to come against that thing, but the man is sleeping, not knowing he's on borrowed time. And the scripture say, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. So the man is still in slumber, and the Holy Ghost is quickening him. Rise up and pray. Rise up and pray. But the man is still weak, not knowing that that summoning, that beckoning, is because there is a borrowed time, because something is about to spoil. There are families that people have died accidentally, not because God wanted it, but because there was none to stand in the gap. Probably the watchman was still sleeping, not knowing he's on borrowed time. Borrowed time where he could have legislated authority to avert that agenda of darkness. He didn't know he was on borrowed time. There are many things the enemy wants to spoil about your destiny, but you don't know. And you don't know you are on borrowed time. A particular woman messaged me yesterday because she read a testimony I shared. One testimony I will share will lead to another testimony that will lead to another testimony. I shared a particular testimony of a lady that heard me, that read one of my pieces from Botswana, and her husband for 7 years did not know that their first son is not his child. So the woman saw that write up, and the thing pricked her, and she confessed to me. I said, there is no time. Tonight, tell him this night. Nah. There is no time, because you are on borrowed time. If you die in that manner, you will end in hell. Whether your pastor believes in the doctrine of hell or not, you will go there if you actually are not aligned with God. The woman saw that she is on borrowed time. The memory pool. Get me a record again. The woman saw that she was on borrowed time. So what did she do? Imagine, hear me well. Imagine a case of 7 years. You have lived with a man that you call your husband for 7 years, and your first son that he has been calling my son was not actually his son. That very night, the woman messaged the man and told him that he is not your son. He was giving, she was pregnant by another married man. I see how the spirit of immorality is perversive. So, but the woman recognized that she was on borrowed time, and as a result of that, she aligned. She made her confession, her reputation notwithstanding. Another woman just messaged me yesterday and told me, the man of God, that she left her husband and slept with another man. She is married though. Then she went to sleep with another man. I think that one is married or something like that. But this one is in Nigeria now, because such things are more prevalent in the Southern Africans. The spirit of immorality has its throne, is enthroned in that region globally. It operates from there to the nation, because it's in Sadak. Oh God, I love these people. I'm not trying to speak bad against them. I love them. But it is in that place that I found out that if you see 100% out of 100% of families, you see over 70% mama did not marry papa, but they just started giving children. They just marry themselves. Their parents are not aware. And they give birth to children that enter university. The children enter university, and the children are already giving birth outside. And they marry again, the same system, the same unit. What am I trying to say in essence? This particular lady saw the message and recognized that she's actually on borrowed time. Hear me, my friends. We are actually on borrowed time. Not just the nation of Israel. Don't forget. God, do you know the firstborn of God? Huh? The firstborn of God is Israel. Israel is his first. God said to Pharaoh, you are dealing with my firstborn. I will deal with your firstborn. So all the plagues of Egypt did not touch Pharaoh until God touched the firstborn of Pharaoh and killed him. That night Pharaoh said, Israel, get out. Go. That was the night he told them to go. That until they had reached some of the rest before he started pursuing them again. So God, knowing that Israel is his firstborn, gave them a time of grace for Israel to align. The Messiah came, did all he could do. Israel did not align. And then God allowed General Titus to thresh. There's something they call threshing. To thresh is to grind. Israel was grinded to powder. All Jews went into captivity. From Rome, they dispersed all over Europe. Some went to the Americas. Israel lost their land from 1780 up to 1948. Over 1,400 and something years, they stayed as wanderers and vagabonds because they did not yield. Now I've scratched on the nation of Israel. I've done exegesis on that. Now I'm talking about individuals. You see John saying in Luke chapter 3 verse 9 that the axe is laid on the root of the trees. Hear me very well. There is a sentence upon your life to serve God. And the preacher may not come and tell you serve God or go to hell. Eh? But that's the truth. You are sentenced to serve. You don't have option. I've heard of people that said, if God does not do this, I will drop Bible. That's the language of fools. If God does not give me this miracle, I will drop Bible. You are foolish. if you drop Bible, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Can I explain who you are? Can I explain who you are? The son you are seeing. The son is over 100,000 times bigger than the earth. Is it 10,000 or 100,000? But go and find out. Over 100, sun is 100,000 times bigger than the earth. The sun is in the ranking of stars because Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, all stars depend in glory. So, in the ranking of stars, there is a particular star that is over a million times bigger than sun. You don't understand me. The earth is like a dot where the sun is. Then there are stars that the sun is like a dot to them. Then imagine the entity that created them. Then just imagine yourself in the picture. In your carrying Bible and say, if God does not do this miracle, I will drop Bible. That's the language of fools. So what I'm saying is that you are sentenced to serve God. You don't have option. And you don't have option. You have come into the system. And the man that planted the vineyard has right to the fig tree because he's the one that planted it. After all my labors in Katsina State, after all the things I had planted and spent on it, when I was about to go, I remembered everything that I suffered while planting that. I called one man I loved in the town. I said, come, look at my farm, harvest everything and take it. The harvest was ready. The man was just thanking me. I told him to take it. I have a right because it was my farm. Are you hearing me? A father has right to you because you are his planting. Isaiah called us the planting of the Lord, the trees of righteousness. So the Lord has right, total right over you. Jesus taught them a parable in Luke chapter 18, how that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always. So it's a sentence to pray. Is a sentence to be aligned with God. Is a sentence to be in harmony with God. Is a sentence to live a holy life. Is a sentence to live a holy life. You are sentenced. Imagine you are pampering these things and you die in the act of that, not knowing you have borrowed time. How will you risk your life? How will you risk your life? Israel risked it. Jesus cried out, Jerusalem, and they hated him for his message of repentance. Likewise, John. That is why they beheaded John. Why did they behead John? John told Herod, you are taking your brother's wife. Herod vexed and arrested him. Then Herodias, that woman with the spirit of Jezebel, when the daughter danced and Herod demanded, what will you, even half of my kingdom I will give to you, your dancers please me. She said, tell your father, the head of John the Baptist. The spirit of Jezebel was enough. Because John came in the spirit of Elijah. And Elijah was pursued by Jezebel too. Jezebel said your head. So that ancient spirit of Jezebel was still around, and is still around. Elijah was a man of the wilderness. John was a man of the wilderness. Check the dressing of Elijah, the same with John. Elijah challenged the king of the day, Ahab. John challenged Herod. And the wife of Ahab wanted to kill Elijah, and the wife of Herod wanted to kill John. And Elijah said, oh God, I'm tired of ministry. I'm not better than my fathers. God said, is that so I come? Let me take. Elijah was not supposed to go by that time. God said, I come. You are tired. Let's go. That was the end of his ministry. John said to Jesus, are you he that is to come, or do we wait for another? That was the last of his ministry. The next thing he said was beheaded. John lamented, Elijah lamented. After the lamentation, they didn't have ministry. So that's why I'm telling you that the Lord only has his, not even 7,000. He has his 7 billions. 7 millions. He always has reserves. And the reserves are called the stones that will worship him if you don't worship. What am I saying in essence? The axe is laid on the root of the tree. You are commanded, you are summoned to get aligned with God, to get serious with God, to get united with him. It's a summon. It's just like a decree was given by a law court. Everybody has to obey it. And if you don't obey it, you become a defaulter of the law. The Lord grant us understanding. Listen very clearly to me. You are a picture as an individual. You are a picture of the tree here. The Lord demands fruit. God demands fruit from you. God does not only demand leaves, he also demands fruit. Leaves is just outward demonstration. Outward demonstration, charismatic charismatic displays. I can pray, I can fast too, but inside of you, lust has finished. And God is saying the axe is laid on the tree because there is a borrowed time. There is a borrowed time. Israel was not spared. God's firstborn. Then we who are Gentiles, the wild olive. Romans 11 called us the wild olives, grafted into the vine. We have been grafted. So we are sentenced to a life of total obedience. That's the summoning. Don't gamble it. Don't gamble it. When the Lord calls you to the place of prayer, don't take it for granted. When he not just to the place of prayer, to a life of prayer, don't take it for granted. Because many things will spoil if you don't pray. We are sentenced to a life of service. When Jesus said, go you into the world, he was not speaking to only few. He was talking to all that were to be disciples. It was a command to all that will be disciples. The going command is still in existence now. We are all sentenced to preach Jesus. Not just to preach him, but to live him out. Israel was boasting. Israel was boasting that they had it all. They had the revelations of God. They had the prophets. They were boasting that they had the Torah. That the chosen people, we have the stock of Abraham. They were boasting that the covenants have been given to our fathers. But they didn't know that the axe was laid on the tree. They didn't know that the axe was laid on the tree. Every man has a borrowed time. Anything you do for God, you know that you don't have time, you begin to do it. Are we together? Anything you can do for God, you don't waste time on it. If God has blessed you, if God has blessed you with the gift of utterance, whether you have been blessed by it or not, but if you have been blessed by it, much is demanded of you. You begin to preach Jesus anywhere you find yourself. Begin to make disciples. If you have been blessed with wealth, the purpose of wealth is for the kingdom. Is that activities in the kingdom should take place, such as evangelizations and programs of retreats and all of that, that are coming back to God. If God has blessed you with finance, you make sure that you are a financier of the gospel, because there is but a borrowed time. Whatever God has blessed you with, ensure that you begin to make good use of it for the gospel, because you are on a borrowed time. You know, he said that whosoever much is given, much is what? Demanded. He said the man that knoweth to do good and doeth it not will be beaten with what? Many stripes. You've not seen that in scriptures? Yeah. This is actually a summon back to the Father. You are on a borrowed time. Perhaps your teachers have not been telling you. I'm telling you now, you are on a borrowed time. The time is not as you think. Not always as you think. The time for what? The time for alignment with God. The time for true service. Jesus didn't say he's looking for them that will just worship him. No. He said the Father seeketh it. If the Father is seeking for who? Those that will worship. Lucy, can you sing more than Lucifer? Lucifer, that his throat is fire. The anointed cherub that covered it. He could sing by all standards. And in John 4:23-24. He said the Father is seeking for them that will worship now, but in spirit and in truth. Spirit and truth. In spirit meaning that in alignment with the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God. And in truth. In truth. Without guile. Without deceit, like the fig tree. The fig tree had leaves. Which fruit come before leaves? So the leaf was to deceive the Lord that it had fruit. When the Lord came, he didn't see fruit. He didn't know that that was not... He didn't know it was on a borrowed time. Time had finished, but he didn't know. The fig tree didn't know that his time has expired. Maybe it has been doing that. And the Lord said, no man eat of thee ever again. The disciples thought Jesus was joking. They looked, the tree was there. They said, okay, this one another talk. When they came back, they said, Master, look, the tree has dried though. If Jesus was speaking pidgin, if I look, they said, when I started joking. When the Lord speaks, you think he's joking. The fig tree didn't know it was anybody. It had an appearance of God. Deceit. It deceived the Lord. So the Lord seeks them that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Without deceit. A people totally sold out to him. That is who he is calling. A people totally sold out to him. Because he's actually a borrowed time. When you see the man out there walking around you, you should understand that there is a prototype. That means there is actually need to evangelize to them. People around you should be evangelized to by all standards, because there is a prototype. Let's just rise up on our feet. I wouldn't emphasize much on it again. If you didn't get the message, I will advise after the service tomorrow you demand for the message to listen again. Hear me very clear. You are on a borrowed time. Anything you want to do for the Lord. Do you know Jesus was on a borrowed time, but he didn't know? Jesus was eating with the disciples on the table. Jesus said to Judas, that thou doest, do it quickly. Jesus said to Judas, time is getting short. Go fast, fast. And Judas went immediately by that word and called the people that were to take the master. He said that thou doest, do it quickly. That message for Judas, I don't take that message for granted. That thou doest quickly. That's to say, we are on a borrowed time. Whatever you can do for God, you do it quickly. Anyhow you can correct your life, you do it quickly. Because it's a borrowed time. It's a borrowed time. I would not give you prayer points, but you know one or two things the Spirit of God has crashed into your spirit. I like you to fraternize with him right now. I like you to fraternize. I tell you with the Spirit of God, this was a message given to my bowels, from my bowels. It's not to be taken for granted. To repent, you have a borrowed time. To get serious in your service with God is a borrowed time. To begin to serve him in spirit and truth, you have a borrowed time. Go ahead and call upon the Lord. I don't have a prayer point for you. You have a prayer point for yourself. Saying, Lord, I realize I have a borrowed time. Help me to align with you. Help me to get serious with you. Help me to start to fall in love with you again. Shakan jada da da ba yada da da boda da da di. Jidi di 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 ya ma da 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 da. If I were you, I would lift up a cry. You are not even raising a cry. Lift up a cry to him. Say, Lord, I realize, I recognize. Raise a cry to him. Some of you should be crying for alignment with God. Some should be crying for grace for service. You know what your cry should be. And invest time in prayer. The time to invest is now. You're on a borrowed time. You don't know how tomorrow will be. The Spirit of God will need you to invest in prayer in this season. If you can fast, the time is now. If you can serve God, the time is now. You don't have all the time in the world. You don't have all the time in the world. You call the Lord for the spirit of grace. Say, Lord, I call for the spirit of grace. Your greatest Lord, your greatest Lord. Say, Lord, I cry for grace. I recognize I am on a borrowed time. There is no time to be unserious again. This is time to be serious. Time to be serious. Somebody cry to the Lord for help. I am an cry to the Lord for help. Lift up a cry, lift up a cry, lift up a cry to him. Lift up a cry to him. Masu come pick up and tie. Lift up a cry to the one that can save your soul, to the one that can save your life. Hear me, everybody listening. Listening very clear. In Proverbs 6, verses 9 to 11, listen. It says, how long wilt thou sleep? O sluggard, when wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, yet a little slumber, A little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that troubleth, and thy want as an armed man. That's to say, this spiritual sleep can cause you spiritual robbery. When a man is sleeping spiritually, the man can be robbed. The two harlots that went to Solomon, the one that they took a live child, that one that took a child, came and took it while she slept. She went to Solomon and said, okay, why thy handmaiden slept? Why thy handmaiden slept? So while men sleep, graces are taken off. Gifts are stolen. There are many of us, as a result of spiritual sleep, many things have been taken. There are many more the devil wants to take, but the Lord is saying, you have borrowed time. That is borrowed time to contain in the place of prayer. Borrowed time to contain in the place of prayer. Paul said to Timothy, he said, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. There are many things you need to contend for in life. There are many things you need to contend for. The destiny God has put in your hand, you are to take care of it. You are not to allow the devil to manipulate it. You are to contend in the place of prayer. You are the gatekeeper. He has placed you as a gatekeeper to ensure that the city is in safety. Oh, sluggard, a little sleep, a little slumber, and you see how the city is destroyed. Destinies have been destroyed because of spiritual sleep. Imagine sleeping on the bed of sin, sleeping on the bed of immorality. Imagine the things the devil will steal from you. Some callings have been truncated as a result of that. Some people, their original calling has been truncated because of spiritual sleep. You will raise a cry that no gift that the Lord has given to you will be lost. Lift up a cry that there is no gift. Sleep will not cause the gift to be taken. You have a borrowed time to contend, because the adversary moves to and fro, looking for whom he will destroy. Ailokon petemahuaka, enononom bebabum bakabam beleka, arukutum babarakum beberaka. Oh, shadadadadadadai, komparakatombe, aitokombe rukusikombe lemakombe leka, shandadadadadai, akombe lemombe ankosa, ikom babaraka, ikom belemwa, shandelemwa kambo. In Jesus' name, everybody listen to me. Most of the utterances I bring here, I know what I'm doing. I bring utterances that will cause us to realign with God, and it's because there is a building process we are ensuring, so that people will not build on the wrong foundation. Because some people think they can serve God in rebellion. No, God is the God of order. Paul said, let all things be done orderly. So you don't serve God in rebellion. You serve him with order. Now, everybody look at me. You know, there are some people that think that the Lord is slack towards his promise, as Peter said. Peter said in his gospel that the Lord is not slack towards his promise. Some people look at the situation in the world and say, okay, Jesus will come. Jesus, for how long? Yes, he is suffering long. He's long suffering. But he will actually come. His patience is long. But his patience is not forever. No matter how you say about the patience of God, God does not have patience over something forever. It's for long. Hear the difference. He will actually come to check up. 3 years. He was not. How will you imagine that God was noticing the fig tree, but fig tree did not know until he came? I see fig tree, I've been looking for tree. How far? Where is it? I've been looking for fruits. Where is the fruits? The fig tree could not. And the Lord said, okay, I give you another grace. This is the beginning of the year. By the end of this year, if I don't see fruit, I will come and cut. So, can you look at yourself as a fig tree? Just look at yourself as a fig tree. If you look at yourself, I don't have prayer point else for you. You know what you need to cry for. God is saying to you, I'm looking at you. I know thy works. I know thy works. Don't think I don't know. I know thy works. I know
omniscience, the all-knowing. He knows. He knows all things. The omniscience knows it all. He doesn't know some, he knows all. I know thy works. Whether you are hot, whether you are cold, whether you are lukewarm, I know. It's not about what men see outside, but I know thy works. You know what to cry to God for. You know what to cry to Him. And if you're not crying to Him, then I don't know what you want to do with your life. I know thy works. The Lord knows. Lord, you have borrowed time. Even now, we don't have time. Under this corporate atmosphere, can you cry for a little more minutes, like 3 minutes? We don't have time. That the Lord should come through. That the Lord should come through. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. But we have trusted in the name of the Lord. We have trusted in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody lift up your hands. One of the reasons why I cry for alignment, one of the reasons why I cry for people to come to God in genuine repentance is because when you come, listen, your prayers become express. It's not all prayers God attends to. Let me just be sincere with you. And when you come to God in genuine repentance and alignment, it helps your life because you don't give the devil a foothold in your life. There are many people that what is troubling them is because of access they gave to the evil one. Have you seen, I've told you the description of Satan in Revelation 12. He said, Satan, the accuser of the brethren. Satan knows how to accuse men before God. Why will I be giving him things to accuse him? You're asking me for one serious thing. And God says to, and Satan comes and says, no. Lord, this one is a serial fornicator. Don't give him. And the Lord looks, and the Lord cannot deny his word. You know, Satan comes to God by his word. You don't know. Many of you joke with scripture, but Satan doesn't joke with scripture. Satan doesn't joke with scripture. You shouldn't give Satan legality to reproach you. Many people, they are lawful captive. Who is a lawful captive? He's a captive that is supposed to be a captive by reason of what he did. They are lawful captive. But it's even the lawful captive shall be delivered. The prayer of the temple shall be delivered. So you need to run to the Lord. This cry is not for just now. When you go home, have it at the back of your mind that you are living on borrowed time. That's why even in your walk with God, you don't need to talk. Holiness is not denominational. Holiness is not a sectional. That is for this world. No, holiness is the way of life for the believer. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So you can't see the Lord without a life of holiness. You can't. Holiness is not for one denomination. It is for the body. It is for the ecclesia universal. Lift up your hands. Lord, we are asking for grace for alignment. Grant everyone grace for alignment. Grant everyone here grace to be connected genuinely with you. Grant everyone here grace for true holiness. And Jesus said, if your right hand causes you to stray, cut it off. Grant them grace to cut off whatever makes them to stray. If you can't cut that thing off, then you'll be cut off. I'm sorry to say. Will you prefer to be cut off or to cut it off? Which one do you prefer? To cut it off or to be cut off? If your right hand causes you to stray, Jesus said, cut it off. If the fig does not cut that thing off, that branch off, then the fig tree will be cut off. The Lord will give you grace to cut off what you need to cut off. This is very important. Grace to cut off all that needs
to be cut off. In the name of Jesus. They are saying amen like unbelievers. They are saying amen like they are not even serious. The Lord will grant you grace to cut off all you need to cut off. In the name of Jesus. I pray for everyone here, under this atmosphere of the Spirit, that this week will be a week of unending miracles. There is a particular miracle that you have expected that has not come to reality for the past months and years. May the Lord bless it this week. May it come to pass this week. May the Lord honor you this week. May the Lord bless you this week. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you this week. The Lord be gracious unto you this week. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you this week and give you his peace. In Jesus' name. Have your seat in God's presence. Yeah, I've been permitted in my spirit to begin to take offerings. I've been permitted. Even before the permission, I've gotten disturbances from several portals. Last Sunday here was filled. We had dignitaries from even different places, yet the offering was not taken. But from this Sunday, I'm permitted to start taking the offering. So whatever offering you have for the Lord, you lift it up. Michael, come and pray over the offering.
If you have it, I want you to raise it up above your head. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for letting us have. Lord, we are not giving because we have enough, but because it is from our heart. Lord, I pray for those that have given. Let this week open up for them in Jesus' name. And those of us that are here that does not have, I pray that next week they will have. Lord, as they are dropping their offerings today, they are dropping barriers, they are dropping obstacles, they are dropping predicaments, they are dropping problems, any situation, any closed door. Lord, because they have given, I pray, let those doors be open in Jesus' name. Anyone that has given under this covering, Lord, I pray as they are entering and joining into this new week, everything they touch will be productive in Jesus' name. Lord, because we have given, Lord, let men locate us this week. I pray for favor. I pray for mercies. I pray for open doors. Lord, let this seed speak for us. If there is any place we have to struggle for in this week, Lord, because we have given, let favor speak in Jesus' name. Shall we cast our offering?
Jesus' name. The Lord bless the offerings. In Jesus' name we pray. Yeah, God bless everyone. I believe we have been blessed. If you've been blessed, let me see your hand up. Amen. Listen to me. I know that when I was speaking to some of you may say maybe the details are too much or whatever. What I want to say to you, Ephesians 4, the Bible said, he has set particular a number of persons in the ecclesia, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He said, for the edifying, for the building of the body, to we all grow into a mature stature. Are you getting me? So teachings are actually necessary for your equipment. So, without further delay, we have www.gagsermons.com. When you go there, you see all our messages. Right from Abuja, you see all our messages. They are easy to download on that platform. They are easy to, you want to listen to them on the platform, you can listen to them. So they are easily accessible. Now you may have been here and you think you heard the message for today, but I tell you, you may not have heard it properly until you put the message again in your ears and listen to the audio, then you will know you have heard. Are we together? Yeah.
Now you are blessed by this eternal word from God Almighty. For more anointed audio messages from Apostle Christian Woke, visit us at www.gagsermons.com or send us a message on WhatsApp with +234 703 246 9360. God bless you.